The hallmark of a service facsimile is a sometime during in the running out of this service facsimile, sometime during its run out, or between sessions. You'll hear about it when the PC comes back into the next session. A person questions the wisdom of getting rid of it. I don't care if it's jabbing butcher knives in their right arm. He will question the wisdom of getting rid of this aberration. Now, you might miss hearing it on some cases, but it is always there. Sometime in the process of running it out, they got up to this level. Now, let's see. If I got rid of this, I don't know. I don't know. Say, service facsimile's hitting policemen, see? Oh, I don't know. If I got rid of that, man, I just might be in jail all the time. You look at him in amazement, you know. If you got rid of the service facsimile hitting policemen, you would be in jail all the time. You don't treat them like that as an auditor, see, but you'll hear some weird ones. The guy's in jail all the time from hitting policemen, see? But if he got rid of the service facsimile of hitting policemen, something would go very wrong in his life, and he couldn't survive, and it would be finished. See? It's where life has been so overwhelming, and he has done so much overwhelming, that it makes no more sense. He has abandoned it, and in lieu of any good sense, he has erected this monument. See? And that monument is a monument to total asininity. The way to have good health is to smoke cigarettes, you see, and never take any exercise, and so forth, and so forth. And you'll hear this guy going on along in this, and you'll hear a dissertation, and it seems to be just a little bit offbeat. And you wonder, how on earth what this really adds up to? Well, without precise assessment, you probably could not establish exactly what it was. But it might be as banal as good health. A service facsimile is good health. How do you have good health? Well, the best way to have good health is eat poisonous foods and throw yourself under trucks wherever possible and so forth. You see, the thing is completely twisted around the other way, too. It's an aberrated survival computation is what it is. Now, it might better be called a service computation or a survival computation. But we already have this term service facsimile, so we might as well stay with it for the present at least. Because it isn't just one facsimile, it actually isn't a facsimile at all. It's the guy himself keeping facsimiles in restimulation because he knows what's best. You see all this wild aberration inside of a society which compels its citizens to do this or that. You're probably looking at third dynamic service facsimiles. They get stuck on these things. Take the jail system, which is used right now in the West. The jail system is rather interesting because they know for a fact, and all our statistics demonstrate, every single one of them demonstrates, the lot, that they increase criminality with the present prison system. All the penologists know this, and they adhere to it slavishly. In 1835, a study was conducted to find out what penal systems were in use around the world, not to find out which was most workable, but what ones were in use. And they adopted the present system in Philadelphia. They adopted this present system of the cell and the confinement and the guard and the this and that. And at the time they adopted it, they knew that it did the least rehabilitation. I mean, the committee that did this had the data in front of them, that they were doing the most they possibly could to perpetuate crime by adapting the present prison system. Now, this prison system today is so general, and it is in use so far and wide, and the present court system is not any part of it, is so wide and general and so forth, that everybody thinks that is the only prison system there could be. It's very far from a fact. There are actually hundreds of prison systems, and yet they have hung themselves with the one which they found was the least rehabilitative, the least workable, and produced the most crime. And that was done by study, by careful analytical study. So you must realize that there are third dynamic service facsimiles at work. It's a totally non-survival computation to choose the worst prison system you could possibly choose. And yet they set out to do so. So I don't think they were studying public safety. See, they weren't any longer studying public safety. They were simply studying how to make criminals wrong. So penology, by 1835, had ceased to be a study of how to make an honest society safe from the inroads of a criminal, and had begun to be just a system by which to dramatize the criminal is wrong. See, so no longer had any useful application. I don't care what money they're spending on crime today. Stop spending it, they'd have less crime. I don't care how weird and aberrated that happens to look, but I'm just showing you, here is a solution in the society. Not to go on this subject, because it's not a... It just happens to be an interesting datum. I got this out originally and was rather interested that Warner Brothers did one of pages. That's what they've established. You want to, as I asked you in an earlier lecture, how is it that Argo is the one thing that seems to be a current slingo that goes along, a language that carries along, and yet it's the most secret language there is? How is this perpetuated? Well, it's perpetuated by the state with its existing prison system. So with that Argo, then, must go all the systems of defrauding, robbing, murdering, and wrecking the society. And they have gratuitously, at public expense, erected these universities all over the place in which these fellows can carefully communicate to one another the very best criminal methods. And this is all done at great public expense. And that's a service facsimile at work. That solution, the prison, see, stands up there right now as the primary method why the society is going criminal. And yet it is supposed to be the reason why the society is not criminal. See, it's erected to protect the public from the criminal. And there is, however, educating criminals, perpetuating crime, going forward in a very businesslike way at great public expense to do the least possible rehabilitation for the criminal, make him feel the most outlaw of any other system, make him feel the most individuated from the society, spoil his reach, and therefore his sanity. It makes sense to a Scientologist particularly, put a guy in his place, he can't reach anything, can't itch anything, he's naturally got a case deterioration. Well, if he's already a criminal because he's crazy, how about deteriorating his case? Well, naturally, he'll become more of a criminal, won't he? So all kinds of actions of this character, I'm not even standing up for another system. Frankly, if you just erected a big stockade someplace or another and told the fellows to go in there for a while and we didn't care who they took with us, we'd probably have a better system. If the Scientologists were to go about this, I already figured this out for the federal prisons of the United States. The head of all federal prisons in the United States was required Dianetics to be read, by the way, by all his wardens. And I worked out a system for him. Too much work for me to put into effect, and so never went into effect. We are not without friends or connections or influence, in spite of the fact that some two-bit, some drug addicts, the federal drug addicts, are after us, because they're actually not under the government. They're under the AMA. Well, that's who pays them, you know. People work for those who pay them, don't they? Normally, naturally. They, by the way, recently got some legislation through, I see, now so that anything is mislabeled, all they have to do is arrest the guy and throw him in prison without a hearing. I was interested in this new legislation that came through from the FDA. When they do something like this, they get a level of unpopularity that has exclamation points after it. So they're doing their best, and we'll help them out. The direction which they want to go, we will help them go any day now. But there's service facsimile. Government sets itself up a stable datum. Foods must not have noxious products in them. And this outfit is now protecting the public against good electrical equipment and certifying electric shock machines that break people's teeth and spines. And they pass these. But the e-meter, no, that's deadly. It's pretty grim. I mean, it's pretty gruesome when you start to think over the level of action. Well, now that, again, on a third dynamic level, is a service facsimile in action. See, somebody put up this solution that the public shouldn't have to eat noxious food products or something like this, or poison should be kept out of foods. That basically, you see, is a good idea. And then this idea starts going all mad and madder and madder and madder till practically the only thing that'll get certified is something that kills somebody. See? You get the idea. Well, all right, so they must be there simply to make somebody wrong. I don't think they have anything to do with anything except making somebody wrong. I don't know who they're trying to make wrong. They're not going to make us wrong. But they must have somebody they want to make wrong, and we're not quite sure who it is. But there is, you might say, a service facsimile. Well, now you take any good solution to a situation and then plow that solution in so that it lower harmonics. It goes through several flips, stays itself, you see, but it's lower and lower and lower on the tone scale. It finally gets below all other solutions and becomes itself an aberration. Now, it isn't true that all solutions become service facsimiles. You could immediately conclude this. As a matter of fact, I have looked at it rather wildly occasionally and said, my heavens, if any time you solve something, why, you're in the soup. No, that isn't it. A service facsimile is a solution which is insisted upon but won't itsa. It's a solution which is insisted upon but won't itsa. A solution to be a solution leads to a further ability to itsa. Now, if you solve something on the basis of the solution reduces the itsa, or the ability to itsa, then you've set up a potential service facsimile. This is one of the reasons why Scientology would never become a service facsimile in a society. It increases the ability to itsa. Now, let's look back at the FDA for a moment. They are taking over a role of classifying for and protecting the public from making up their own minds about food. They're denying the public an analytical attitude toward products. And they step in there and protect the public from themselves, which is to say they cut the public itsa. Now, having reduced the public itsa very severely along a level where it didn't need reduction, they have then set up a situation where anybody they pass is okay. The public then loses the criterion of inspection. The public no longer does its own inspection. They don't buy Salinas Valley lettuce because it's good and avoid Mexican lettuce because it's bad. See? But the FDA, aberratedly, because it's in some wild state, then goes in and passes because somebody slipped him a quick buck or something like that, slipped him Mexican lettuce and says, well, that's okay. Mexican lettuce, that's all right, that's all right. Seal of approval, bang. It's fertilized with dysentery. Look what happens to the public suddenly. The public can be caved in by it because it's opened a gate which is destructive. See what they are? They're not then increasing familiarity with the environment. They're decreasing it and leaving this area in a mystery. And it's all set up on the irrational supposition that they're infallible. They had some non-pregnancy drug the other day, and it had wild side effects. I passed it. They passed it. There's been several drugs of recent times that have been passed that are terribly destructive, one way or the other. Now, obviously, some role exists for such an agency. But every time you set up such an agency, you set up a potential service facsimile, which will then accumulate to it a great deal of evil. And the next thing you know, you have set up a situation where nobody can live with it. Now you get how that's done? It's by reducing itza. Prince, you'd almost never look for travel agencies to aberrate a society. You wouldn't look to a travel agency as a primary source of aberration in the society. They could bring in a little bit. We had a situation here in England where anybody that could buy a ticket in the West Indies, you see, could come to London. And some shipping company made millions shipping everybody to London. And this was looked on in some particular lines as something. And then, oddly and wildly enough, the Parliament up here was faced with the embarrassing situation, suddenly, of limiting the amount of immigration from one of its own colonies. Very embarrassing. They managed to get over it and pass it. Nobody's ever heard of it since. And they've limited immigration in that particular line, but I'm afraid this wasn't even much of an aberration. I mean, that's about as close as a travel agency could come, you see. So it doesn't mean that all these sources are perfect. Little randomities exist around these other sources, don't you see? But broadly, those that directly reduce the itza, those that directly reduce the itza and don't help or support the itza line in any way are most likely to become service facsimiles. They're a solution without inspection, which is too broadly applied. This girl has a survival solution. She simply says, families are no good. This is what she's made up her mind to. She holds that in place. She proves it to herself all the time. She works day and night. She sits there. You can see her in a brown study, you know. She's sitting there. Yeah, she'll say to herself, yeah. Proves it. Mother didn't say anything to me this afternoon. So that, of course, proves, you see, families are no good. Okay, and it all works out. Now she doesn't have to look to find out why didn't Mother speak to her all afternoon. And that brings about a no-as-isness of mass. There's no necessity to inspect. She's got it solved. Mother didn't speak to her all afternoon because families are no good. That's it. She didn't have to inspect the fact that she, last evening when she took the car out, bent the front fender and then didn't say anything about it and didn't offer to do anything about it and put it back in the garage, and Mama found it at noon. and cut the communication line because she already knows that it's disastrous to try to talk, you see. So you got a situation there. Now, that little ARC break is never going to blow away, is it? It's never going to be talked about. Not going to be any communication on the subject and so forth. Well, what's preventing it from being talked about? Families are no good. That proves it. You understand, it gets charged up because every one of these ARC breaks that contributes to it in its immediate vicinity charges it up further. And the person holds it in line harder. And more ARC breaks pile up on it until it eventually becomes an accumulation of mass. And therefore, when you prep check somebody with a service facsimile around the vicinity of this service facsimile without hitting it on, you turn on mass. The source of the mass is nothing has been itzed. Now, you're prep checking them this way. Since the last session, has anything been suppressed? Let's say it's auditing that's the target. This is in vignette. It's not a real service facsimile. My auditor is no good. There's no reason to answer this question because my auditor is no good because auditors are no good. No. Now, the case is in a solid, continuous ARC break, so it doesn't register on your meter. Since the last session, has anything been invalidated, you see? No. Auditors are no good. Wouldn't do me any good to answer the question anyway, because auditors are no good, you see? Yet the case isn't thinking this consciously. Case isn't thinking that consciously. That's just everything that you ask the case comes up against this. And you, my God, you're trying to talk to this case. You're trying to get this case to talk. You're trying to get this case to do something. And you do know what you're doing. And yet you're going up against some kind of a barrier like this in this case. And then all of a sudden you wheel back and you say, I'm a failure as an auditor. No, you're not a failure as an auditor. You just didn't clip the service facsimile that made auditing impossible. You see that? And this is expressed by the no motion of the tone iron action. Because there is no itza in that immediate vicinity, there is no then dismissal or discharge of the charge hanging up on it. You see that? Now, you're listening to this opinion, auditors are no good, on somebody who never inspects an auditor or auditing. There's no itza. In other words, the whole thing is just completely unjustified. How do they know whether the auditor is no good or not? They seldom heard one. They've never looked at them. See, how would they know? Let's get another situation. I'm very, very sure that some of you have been over the coals of being considered immature or some other way by either your mother or father or family. Irresponsible. See? Now, you probably have never asked yourself this other question. Did they ever look at me? Now, there's lots of mothers. The last time they looked at little Roscoe was when he was about two. And they're still trying to advise two-year-old Roscoe at the age of 30 what he should do about his marriage. Well, I don't know anything about him. If you want to give somebody a sin that has a lot of family trouble, just ask them questions along that particular line and so on. Ask them what they have observed about their family. There's a good R1C. You'll probably get tone arm action out of that, you're saying, because it's on the fringe of something if they're having trouble with something. And they're liable to come up with a realization that their family has never looked at them and doesn't know them. See, we're on a no-it's-a situation. Some preconceived notion. Societies tend to get stuck with these things, to get stuck with some idea. And it's very interesting that this is probably the way that a society reduces its strength, just as an individual reduces his strength this way. I feel sorry for this society in a number of ways. Because in certain zones and areas which the society depends upon for its control of mean, vicious, nasty persons and things like us, these guys haven't got any itza line out. Do you realize what's happening? If you want to look at it bluntly, these guys are sitting back taking the wrong actions with regard to certain situations. They're trying to prevent, through their wrong itza on Scientology, they're trying to prevent certain zones and spheres of activity, which is to say the public must not be practiced on by an unqualified guy who doesn't happen to pay dues to us, and that sort of thing. All right, now they're set with certain set fixed ideas. They believe these ideas. And they believe that what we're doing and what we have to do with is no good and it's corn. Right? And that it's not any advance on anything. And my God, during this whole period of time, we're moving right straight on ahead into more mental technology and more technology about life and livingness than they ever dreamed could ever exist. We have actually been effectually isolated and insulated from any further interference or from having our energies drained down by being made to comply with or agree with the mores of their particular practice lines. That would have slowed us down like mad, don't you see? We're moving forward with express train velocity. There isn't any faculty of any college or something like that is going to tell you or me whether or not we had better research or not research some particular sphere of existence. If we can put an itza line on it, we look at it. It doesn't then make it bad or impolite, see, or something like that, which is why we shouldn't look. And we're actually traveling as a subject without a service fact. And it's making fantastic velocity. And here these poor sods are, whose whole life is bound up in these, you know, the mustard plaster level of healing. And they're not in contest to keep their developmental line coming forward. So there they sit, and there we go. How high can it rise before the potential suddenly explodes? They're nuts. That's what it makes them look to us. The potential will eventually explode in their faces. In what way? They suddenly won't have any patience. Nobody will be paying any attention to them. Because they have a wholly authoritarian educational system. That is to say, they put it on TV, you must see your local doctor. Your local doctor receives you in open arms. Well, they're so unreal, they don't realize that that isn't the public line, their word of mouth. I don't care how much advertising you buy, you got to have good word of mouth, man. You can buy newspapers full of advertising to get somebody to go see a movie that's no good, and the theater will stay empty. Because their word of mouth is bad, you see. And the word of mouth on medicine is very bad. Very bad. And while they're taking fortunes away from people in the United States for not healing them, and not advancing their own technical lines, and not really measuring up the way they should, they're not making the effort necessary to survive. Why? Because they have a service facsimile on us. They don't even know they've got it. It's hidden down amongst their case, amongst any other batty lines. I had a good news story on the subject. I didn't release it. It might have woke them up. They have to reorganize the whole of mental and physical healing before they could cope with what we're doing. This potential, these poles are stretching further and further and wider apart, and eventually they will become a no factor. That's what happens to them. They're a no factor. They simply are not powerful enough or influential enough or anything else enough to do anything about it. You may not think that we're growing, but I look back over any 6 months of the last 10 and 11 years, And frankly, I hardly recognize comparable as just 6 months to the next 6 months. This is a rather fantastic thing, only this is going on internationally. Now, did you ever double a penny for 32 days? It's the old mathematical trick. Guy says, well, you needn't pay me anything but 1 cent doubled every day for 32 days. And somebody says, that's fine, but of course the end 32 days, I don't know what the figure is. It's either 1 million pounds or something like that that has grown up to, don't you see? It only takes this type of curb growth going on up. Now, therefore, they're not impeding what they should be impeding if they wanted to survive themselves. They're not handling the situation with its own zone of reality. And that's all aberration is a failure to handle the situation in its own zone of reality. So this, then, is the service that a service facsimile performs. It makes it unnecessary for an individual to handle the situation in its own sphere of reality. Makes it unnecessary to do so, so nobody ever does anything about it, so mass accumulates up on it. Now, any mass that accumulates on a case, any mass that accumulates by reason of prep check, any body mass that occurs by reason of processing and so forth, must to some degree or another then be batting up against a service facsimile. And if a person cannot be knocked out on the subject of a psychosomatic illness of some character or another by processing, then that must be part of a service facsimile. Those things that auditing won't change are then rooted in this other mechanism. There's a solution without inspection, which pulls in upon it. All the uninspected mass, that's all. Of course, mass disappears because it's as-is. And when a person does not as-is the mass that is there, he naturally gets an accumulation of mass. And the mass that accumulates around one of these service facsimiles is rather marvelous to behold. And of course, it's that mass accumulating which holds and prevents the prep check action. And those are the technical mechanisms which prevent tone arm action. If you don't get tone arm action, it's because the individual does not as is and has not as is any mass in that zone or area for a long time. And not having as is any, when you get into its vicinity, you go into it with a thud if it gets anywhere close to processing, getting well, or handling the environment in which the individual finds himself. The auditing session to this effectiveness extends out to everything the individual does during the period of time that he's being audited in every environment he finds himself in. So that if any service facsimile exists, which is being reacted upon in any of his environment, any place, it will to some degree influence his auditing. And the more of these things exist, the harder it is for you to get tone arm action. Until it gets impossible. Now, an individual can have a service facsimile and still get tone arm action, get some tone arm action. And it would be better, in some cases, to make sure that the service facsimiles are out of the way before plunging backtrack. The amount of time that you could save in processing is a very large factor. I've just made a re-study of this, and I've been brushing off clear left and right and saying no good, no good, you know, I mean, so on, key out clear. And I recently found out that you can stabilize. There's a possibility here of stabilizing a clear by the eradication of the things that will key in. So you see, if you knock out a number of service facsimiles out of an individual, why, the case then stays stable to the degree that it doesn't still have service facsimiles. Now, R3SC is an extremely workable process. I have written it up. It's been released. Of course, one can expect certain refinements of a process of this particular character. But this is peculiarly complete because we accidentally already had a couple of types of assessment that you could do for this. We have the old 212 assessment. We have the R3R assessment, or a preliminary step. They're perfectly adequate, don't you think? They're slippier assessments that you can do, and I'm sure we'll have some fancier assessments on it one way or the other. But these happen to be adequate assessments. And you'll find that the mere inspection of a folder from beginning to end will give you a bunch of candidates. Just inspect the folder. Just start turning over things and looking at auditor's notes and mention that and what the individual has had big bang runs on of one character or another, whether they gave tonearm action or not, you see. But look particularly for periods of no tonearm action, and then go back before those periods and find out what was being dressed on the case. You probably have a surface facsimile combo sitting right there, and just use it in your ordinary steps of R3SC. You get an idea. Let's take a period. We found a period here that if the individual was audited for an intensive and toward the last half of the intensive got no tonearm action. We noticed this from the old auditor's reports. We find out that on Wednesday, form was addressed by the auditor, and that was the end of tonearm action. We notice that there may have been two subjects there that could have been addressed. We'll run them both. Don't be chee-chee. Now, you can run almost anything with R3SC, which is what makes it very good. Just don't overrun it. And if the PC says no and he can't give it answers and so forth, come off of it. Don't shove it down his throat. With those ramifications, then it doesn't much matter what you pick to be the service facsimile. But if you do a slippy assessment, which is a preliminary step assessment, it's a bingo assessment, ride dead on, and something like that, boy, you get action, man. You get action. But if you pick almost anything else, you will also get some action. So it's not critical. The assessment is not terribly critical. Of course, the faster you get what is really the service facsimile on the case, then the faster your tonearm action restores and the case reverts to battery. So there's a lot of ramifications to this sort of thing. But in the final analysis is, here is a process, full-bloomed, which totally replaces your R212 type processes, makes them utterly unnecessary, and takes care of this thing we call a rock slammer, and takes care of body mass and a lot of other things in cases that we've been particularly worried about, and particularly takes care of the auditor's main worry, which is, how do I get tonearm action on this PC? Obviously, if he can't get tonearm action on the PC is sitting in a surface facsimile. I mean, that's the end product of that. Now, you may have to run two or three or four service facsimiles, but by that time, you're going to clear. So you might as well go ahead and clear the guy. Throw it all out of restimulation. Make the case sit there with a free flop needle and so forth and say, all right, I cleared you. Let the guy enjoy it. Let him enjoy it for a day or an afternoon or something like that before you reach till the earlier GPM. All right. Now that's R3SC, and I hoped, you notice that it's tabulated 3. I want to make a short note on that. It's the tabulation of 3 is because actually it is a 3 process being a clearing process. We really rehabilitate Scientology levels against the existing scale, and that means that your R3N and so forth will be called R4N. It's a reorientation. But I'm not going to reuse their letters when they're moved up to 4, and there aren't any other R4s, so they're very easy to recognize. They won't get you tangled up in any way. And then we'll be able to throw these clearing techniques in straight where they belong. And there are a few of them there, so we want them tabulated. We're getting our house in order, and it's making very good sense the way it's going together. That means that there's quite a few cases around here will have to be cleared before they go on to OT. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Thank you.